Welcome back to In the Moment. Vonda Wieland is a principal, but she's also the last chance for many high school students whose family situations and bad choices have brought them to the doors of Black Rock Continuation High School in the Mojave Desert. Tonight on Independent Lens, the documentary The Bad Kids illustrates the hopelessness, the overwhelm, and the path graduation to graduation that just might turn someone's life around. I caught up with Principal Wieland in her office at Black Rock Continuation High.
We are a continuation school, which means that we deal with the students who are unable to graduate from a traditional high school. They're the students who might be behind academically for personal reasons, attendance reasons, discipline issues. A lot of our students come from families where they face some form of trauma, such as drug addiction, abuse, homelessness, all the social issues that, unfortunately, many of our kids face today.
Right. So tell me about the process of, you know, inviting filmmakers in to sort of follow you around and listen in on what your, you know, what your daily life is like and what these kids' lives were like at home.
Well, Lou and Keith are the filmmakers, and they were working for the Gates Foundation, and they were going around and highlighting programs in California where they were seeing success in the elementary schools. And they were working with our district office looking at some of our programs out here for the elementary students. And when they were here, our assistant superintendent said, you know, I have a program that is really being successful. It doesn't meet any of your criteria, but I'd just like to swing by and you know, introduce you. So they came, and of course they came at lunchtime, which is the time that I like to spend with students, socializing and checking in on them. And so I delegated their visit to one of our students. And he brought them around, and as he was introducing them to the students, he told each of the students' stories. He said, you know, that's Joey, and Joey's mother has drug addiction issues, and this is Sally, and she was abused as a child. And he went around and introduced them that way. And they left, and I thought I could just go about my business. And about a week and a half later, my phone rang, and it was Lou and Keith, and they said they couldn't get our school out of their mind and that they got in touch with the Gates Foundation, and the Gates Foundation wasn't interested in secondary programs at the time. And so they were thinking about wanting to self-fund a program. And they asked if they could come for a two-week period just to feel out the school. I was a little hesitant because I was worried that someone might exploit our kids, and I didn't know who they were, and I was just leery. So I called our superintendent thinking that she would say, oh, no, we can't do that. And instead she said, what a great opportunity. Let's give it a try. So Lou and Keith came for 2 weeks. And after the two-week period, I felt very comfortable in trusting them after I got to know them. And I was pretty confident that they weren't going to do anything that would hurt my kids. And so we did invite them in, and they spent 2.5 years then filming with us.
Wow. So let's talk about your role as principal, because we see you in this film doing everything from daily greeting kids at the bus to passing out food to calling them at home and trying to find out where they are to picking them up in your car. That's a whole lot of beyond the traditional administrative tasks of running a school. Tell me, you know, why do you go to that extent to sort of reach out to each of them individually?
Well, they're such amazing, amazing people that you can't help but do everything that you can to help them. They are students who respond really well to attention because they've never had positive attention. They were the ones who were always in trouble at school or were not noticed at the traditional schools. And so they just seem to flourish when they are recognized. And so I come in between 4:30 and 5 every morning to do my paperwork and get that all out of the way so that I can spend my entire day with them, whether it's in the classroom or the hallway or outside helping them with counseling issues. And we find that by giving them that one-on-one attention, knowing their story and being a support to them, that we find it provides them with great success.
How do you start with a kid? I'm thinking of Joey when you're sitting in with him in your office and he says, yeah, I've really never done school. So you're starting with a kid who's 16, 17, 18 years old, many kids who have not been successful up until this point. How do you begin with a teenager making those first steps towards success academically?
If you ask the kids, they will tell you, I am infamous for the saying of how do you eat an elephant? You eat it one bite at a time. Right. And you show them that it's doable. You show them that we're just going to take small little bites and pieces as we go along, and then we're going to be recognized and given positive acclamations for those small little bites, and pretty soon they all add up. I talk with them about, many people have change jars at their house, and they just put in a penny or a dime or a quarter as they go through, and before they know it, they've got $100 there, and then before they know it, they've got a couple $100. And so once they see that it's doable and that somebody believes in them, it really, 90% of the time, it changes them. It motivates them, inspires them. I also tell them, the very first sentence I tell students at the intake is, at our school, you're going to be in charge. Up until now, the system has been in charge, and obviously that hasn't been working for you. So, okay, you don't like school? Stop complaining about it. Let's just do the work and move on, and we're not going to hold you back for a certain amount of time. And once they hear they're in charge and that they're not going to be stuck here for a certain length of time, they're very motivated to progress through the work.
How do you convince them to believe in themselves? Or maybe the heart of the question is this. How do you believe in them when no one has believed in them before and they don't necessarily believe in themselves?
My previous experience, I've been at the continuation school now for 15 years as a teacher or administrator, and I've seen over and over again that they can accomplish great things. And I really believe that they are one of our nation's greatest untapped resources. Hmm. And so I believe in them because I work with them on a daily basis. I see their resiliency. I see their determination, their desire, their compassion. And so by seeing that every day, it convinces me that anyone truly can accomplish anything they choose to do. As they leave every day, I tell them, choose to have a good day, because I want them to know that, bad things are going to happen in their lives, but they are empowered as to how they respond to that. And so having a belief in them is just a natural part of working with them.
Yeah.
As far as convincing them,
right?
I really truly am convinced in the power of positive. We start small, hey, I'm glad you're here, or I know when you're not here, I recognize that, and it matters to me, and hey, you did a great job in, maintaining your behavior in all your classes today. And just starting with small positive recognition then eventually builds into more motivation, which builds into more positive recognition, and it just creates a positive cycle.
Nation's untapped resources. Elaborate on that.
Well, here's the thing, is that we as a society, we're either going to invest in these students, in their education, and create programs like ours, or we're going to have to pay for them later on in social services and correctional institutions. So, we have to really look at them as a resource and, as such, invest in them. And I've seen over and over again that when we do that, our kids, they go out to the community college, they get certifications, they get jobs, they go in the military, and so they're being a successful resource for our country, going out, being productive, paying taxes, and not being a drain on society with the social services.
Some of these kids are breaking the cycle of exactly that.
Absolutely. The majority of kids who come to our school face the generational poverty. And that's very different than a situational poverty. When you are the first person in your family to graduate from high school, that is the opportunity to break the cycle and it motivates them to do better.
Yeah. They're up. You mentioned the change jar. And I think of, you fill up your change jar and then somebody else comes along and smashes it. There are setbacks at home, in life. How do you handle those setbacks when, there's a kid who's been doing really well. All of a sudden, he tells you he's using meth at home with his mom.
I cry a little with them.
Yeah.
And then I say, tomorrow's a new day and we start over again. We are not successful with all students. I mean, it would be foolish of us to claim that. But what I've learned in my years with working with these kids is that if you plant the seeds, they will eventually grow. And so whether they are successful at our program or whether we're get them later on and we get them out to the adult high school program, we know that the positive reinforcement that we've given them and the foundation in organizational skills, workplace skills, behavior skills, all of those things that we plant here will eventually grow and help them later in life.
Now, one of the comments that I actually wrote down when you said it, you were talking to the boy who's, you know, really musical. He's a great singer and guitarist. And you said there are more homeless, talented people out there because they didn't fit into the societal expectations. So some of these kids are sort of square pegs fitting into round holes as well. How do you, is that where you go back to the, you know, you're in charge of your own education here and you get to make your own decisions? What else do you do to sort of help them make that incremental progress?
I'm honest with them. I don't lie to them. And you see me in the movie say that some of the things you're going to do here are not going to apply to your future, but we have to jump through those hoops to get the piece of paper so that we can move on to the next level of our lives where we'll have even more freedom and be able to be in charge even at an even greater length. You know, too often, I think at the traditional high schools, you know, we try to convince them that everything that we are doing is going to affect their later life. And that's just foolish because they know we're lying to them. And so, you know, if we're honest and we say, you know, okay, we understand that you might be that square peg and know the world needs square pegs. I think of Miranda Lambert's song, it takes all kinds of people. You know, we need to have those type of people also. But we also, as a creative person or as somebody who thinks differently or wants to do things differently, we still sometimes have to do things we don't want to do. Mm-hmm. And we have to jump through the hoops. And so I think just that helps motivate them to know that, okay, you know, I can suck it up and do what I need to do to get my ultimate goal.
Right. What happens next for these kids, the ones that are successful in your program? What kind of lives are they going on to live?
Well, we work real closely with our community college. We do a program that's called the RISE program, and we start with the students at the beginning of the year, and we take them on a field trip out to the community college and start exposing them so that they're comfortable in working with the community college and seeing what it's like out there. And then throughout the year, the college comes here, they do all the pre-enrollment, they do all the assessment with the students and fill out all the paperwork. We do the financial aid with them. And so we actually have a higher percentage of our students transitioning out to the community college than the two traditional high schools in our district. Mm-hmm. So that's the first step that we do with our students. We also work very closely with the military. I've already, so far this year, I already have three kids who are currently at boot camp right now. One graduated on Friday and left for boot camp on Sunday.
Wow.
So, you know, we try to keep them moving in the right direction so that we don't have any stagnating.
Right.
And then, you know, we have a small percentage of students who will go right directly into the workforce.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Principal Vonda Veland. She's at Black Rock High School. What town is this in?
Yucca Valley, California.
Yucca Valley, California, featured in the film The Bad Kids on Independent Lens. And Vonda, I'm wondering also, or I'm also thinking about this girl in the film who is close to graduation. It's success story, and then she breaks down and says she really doesn't want to leave. She's afraid to be an adult. Do you deal with that a lot as well?
We certainly do.
It broke my heart.
almost every senior right before they graduate slows down in their credit earning and starts to get fearful, and we have to have a conversation just like I have with Savannah in the movie where, you know, you have to encourage them that they can do it. It's like the mama bird pushing the baby out of the nest and just giving them that support and letting them know that they can come back and we'll be here always. We're not going anywhere. We'll still be that support, that family that they might not have on their own out there to support them.
Do any of the stories or the things that happen in your school surprise you at this point? Have you just seen it all?
I've written a book that's called Lessons from the Bad Kids. And for people who read that, you would think I'd seen it all. You know, I have had students who have come to me, and one young lady had carved into her stomach some very derogatory terms about herself with a pen, with a knife. I've had students who have suffered from very horrific abuse. I hope that there's nothing left out there for me to see, but in my past experience, every time I think that I've seen the worst, I end up seeing something worse later on.
What kind of personal toll does that take on you and your staff?
You know, thank God I have such an amazing staff. We are such a support network for each other. The teachers meet daily before they leave here for a half hour to 40 minutes just to unwind and sometimes complain and vent so that when they get home, they've let all that baggage go before they get home so they can be with their families. I also really strongly encourage my teachers to leave at a decent hour, to not put in ungodly hours, because I want them to have lives outside of school so that when they're here, they're not burned out. So we are a support to each other, and that is so helpful. And then I really encourage all of the teachers and myself included to have outside hobbies, outside interests, so that we become, you know, well-rounded people also ourselves. I'm a hiker. I go out and do a hike every day out in the Joshua Tree Monument. I jump rope to let the frustration vent. The last thing that for me that's really important is I spend a lot of time just writing little notes of encouragement to the teachers, dropping them a little gift to help them remember that they are very appreciated for all that they give and do for these students. Mm-hmm. Most people will do anything if they feel valued and appreciated, and so that's a huge part of my job.
You tell a story in the film about your quest for approval from your father and how he never gave it to you. Tell me about that and how it impacts your work today.
You know, I guess I've in my old age, I've finally become convinced that everybody does the best that they can with any given moment. So in my old age, I'm convinced my dad did the best he could. My parents divorced when I was in junior high in back in the 70s in a small rural town in Minnesota. And so it was a difficult moment. And so I never really had that connection with him. I think it helps me relate to the kids. I'm able to talk with them about what that feels like and to teach them that, you know, really, truly, at the end of the day, they have to look themselves in the mirror. They can't get sidetracked by what their life situations are or what their previous relationships are. They have to be able to fill their own cups and be their own support network.
These lessons really apply to high school students and adults, in every state and really every high school, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. This is a universal story. It is not something that is unique to our area or to our school. These students are in every school, and if you don't think they are, then those administrators have blinders on, because every school has students who have suicide ideation, who are self-mutilating, who are using drugs or alcohol, who are suffering from depression or anxiety or having some form of trauma in their families, such as, you know, the abuse and the neglect. It's everywhere.
That might even be the A students, you know?
Oh,
it occurs to me, the kids who are on a track that you might ignore because they turn their homework in on time and they show up every day. But they need that encouragement,
too. And a lot of the kids who come over here are the quiet ones in the classrooms, you know, that they might have gone in every day to their classrooms and just sat quietly. And because they weren't a problem in the school, nobody really recognized them or did anything with them.
Yeah. All right. Principal Vonda Wieland, anything else I should have asked you or you wanted to make sure to get in about the book or the school or the film?
Well, you know, I'm very grateful to Lou and Keith for putting the spotlight on this issue. It is something that all school districts need to start talking about and that the universities really need to work with teachers in training them on how to deal with the at-risk population, because we can't just say, oh, we're going to go teach curriculum anymore. We have to really look at, we have to go teach the kids.
All right. Principal Wieland, thanks so much for your time. We really appreciate the work that you're doing.
Thank you. Have a wonderful evening.
Thanks. Vonda Wieland is principal at Black Rock Continuation High School in California. You can see the documentary, The Bad Kids, tonight on Independent Lens at 9 p.m. Central, 8 Mountain on SDPB TV.